as we have come to know God. So far, we've covered you, uplifted through daily prayer, where we talked about the value of daily prayer in our faith, and we tried it out together. We explored end, nourished in weekly worship, where we discussed how we can use worship as a way to refuel for the week ahead, as well as to be present, to lend our presence and voices to the collective community, and to stay focused on God's mission. Last week, we dusted off those old Bibles and looked at I, inspired through daily conversation with Scripture, exploring that amazing toolkit filled with ancient words and incredible truths about what being human is all about. So hopefully you are with me. We are praying more, exploring Scripture. Last week, there were so many people here, especially considering it was a long weekend. And so today, on to T. This mark of discipleship does offer us a bit of a shift. Up until this point, much of what we've been talking about reflects on an individual's relationship with God, one's personal faith. Yes, our internal relationship with God is vital. It requires care and attention and discipline in order for it to thrive. From our Matthew 22 reading, that is considered the love the God with all your heart and soul and mind part. Today, we are reminded that our personal growth as disciples is not the end that we are seeking, but rather that realization of God's kingdom, here on earth. And we are able to be the hands and feet of Christ in the world to serve the world that God so loves. This is the second part of the Matthew 22 reading. Love your neighbor as yourself. So we can't live a life of service to God without this deeply rooted faith, grown by prayer, worship, scripture reading. And we can't stop at prayer, worship, and scripture reading. Have you ever heard the saying, faith without works is dead? Did you know that that's from the Bible? James 2 reads, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill,' and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has not works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I, by my works, will show you my faith.'" I, by my works, will show you my faith. Some might say that we are to walk our talk. Yes. But even better, less talking, more walking. We can understand walking our faith, serving others, in this way. I am so propelled forward by my faith that I cannot keep from expressing my gratitude through service to God's world. I want to take special note here to point out that our faith, our relationship with God, is not contingent on our good works in the world. We have grace upon grace, no matter what. And our faith and our lives are improved immeasurably when we serve others. Okay, so we follow the way and the life of that Jesus fellow, and we know that he served. From our second reading in Matthew 25, we also hear that when we serve anyone, we are also serving God. Service to anything in God's creation is like an act of worship, an outpouring of gratitude. It works to deepen our connection with God and our relationships with other people. I don't remember exactly when, but before I was married, I learned from the stories of our faith that love is a verb, an action word. It became a value that I operate from and one of the foundational elements of my marriage. When we express love in action, we are filled with something holy. When we receive loving action with humility and grace, we are filled with something holy. Acts of loving service fill up the giver and the receiver. I want to just take a few moments of reflection, not to share with anyone, but I will ask a couple of questions. Maybe Gina could play us a little reflection music as we think of our lives. I'd invite you to think of a time when you were able to serve someone, picking someone up for church, making sandwiches for a memorial service, offering a much-needed meal. How did you feel doing it? What about after? How did you feel? How was it received? Was it dutifully or gratefully received? What do you think the impact was on the person or the people you served? Now I want to invite you to consider a time when you have been the recipient of someone else's service. If you cannot recall a time, think of the times you have refused an offer of giving. Did you ever consider that you were taking away from them an opportunity to express their faith, their love for God? If you can recall a time, think of the feelings of receiving. Was it awkward? Graceful? How did you feel? What happened next for you? Did anything change? Finally, what could you do today as an act of service? It could be in your home, your neighborhood, the church. Who could you call? What could you do? How does your faith hit the ground in action today? Thank you for taking that time to reflect. We don't spend very much time doing that these days, and it's really important to do. If you have to, make a note. Jot down some of the thoughts, some of the feelings, some of the ideas you had. Let this be the beginning of something intentional. Now, there is another thing about this. Service also fills up a very specific hole within each one of us at any time, but most poignantly in major times of transition in our lives, becoming a parent or a grandparent, losing a spouse, retiring, we can lose sight of our purpose. If we don't have a job or a partner to orient our identity to, we can spin or feel lost. But we can know that no matter what, as Christians, we have one primary purpose, jobs, families, chores aside. Our purpose is to serve. And when we are clear that each day we are above ground is a new opportunity to add love, add compassion, add peace to this world, the rest matters less. And we can know that we are doing important work. We are the hands and feet of Jesus Christ in the world. That could get you out of bed. That can elevate your understanding of the purpose of life. That grounds you in God and in the knowing that you are a valuable, valuable child of God. Okay, Ingrid, we are praying, we're reading scripture, we are here in worship, we're ready to serve. What do we have to do? Fall Fair is coming. Still need someone to host the game station. I'm only half joking. The congregation is a great place to start. And I'm sure some extra hands will be gratefully welcomed. Most churches operate in the 80-20 rule. 80% of the work gets done by 20% of the people. So yes, let's serve Northwood United Church. And let's serve outside these walls. Let your life be an offering of service. Maybe you care deeply about social justice. Great! Do something. Maybe you care about children's advocacy. Great! Do something. Maybe you think you could visit a shut-in. Great! Do it. Service in faith is something that should feed your soul. You might get tired. You might have to sacrifice a comfort of your own to do it. Great. Do it. We are all given gifts that work in service to this world. Find the thing that fills you up. If you are feeling burnt out, you are probably just doing what needs to get done and not working to the gifts that God has given you. Not everyone can offer healing touch. Not everyone can fold bulletins or make coffee or mow the lawn and be filled. But do consider, as you move through this week, where your gifts lie. God gave them to you. They're in there. Consider how you can serve in any way, in any place, for any amount of time. And don't worry. Spirit is there with us always, calling us forward, equipping us, empowering us, showing us. We are disciples. We are Jesus followers. And to do that, we have to do what he did. And he served. Mark 10 reads, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." When we serve others, we are opening the gate to allow God into our lives to shape and transform us. So I'm going to invite you into a prayer with me. It's the prayer that I pray every morning. I memorized it years ago. It was written by Marianne Williamson, and every day it gets me started in the right direction. "As I live and breathe this morning, may your spirit come upon me. May my mind receive your emanations, my heart receive your blessing, and my soul receive your love. May all those I meet or even think of today feel better for it. May I contribute peace. May I serve your purposes with all I say and do. Today and always, please show me how. Amen." Hey, and don't forget, it's up in Shelley's office. I just love it. We're going to stay seated as we sing a bit of a reflective, responsive song.